Our scripture reading this morning will be from John chapter 13, verses 1 through 4. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself.
Welcome to our services this morning. We have a number of visitors, I know. Winston Churchill is one of the most well-known people of the 20th century. He was well-known because of the part that he played in the saving of not just Great Britain, but the Western world together from Adolf Hitler. He was truly an eloquent man. The 18th of June, 1940, before the House of Commons in Great Britain, Winston Churchill made this comment in speaking of what they were facing upon that day. At that particular time, it was the worst time for Great Britain, for France, for the Western world, because of the advances of Adolf Hitler. Churchill made this remark. He said, if the British Empire should stand for another 1,000 years, be it so that they will say at that time, this was their finest hour. Churchill liked the expression, this is the hour. He spoke of the hour of peril. He spoke of Great Britain in their darkest hour. And if you read his speeches, you run upon that thought many times. I thought it a proper introduction, maybe, to our thoughts this morning. Because the passage that was just read in John chapter 13 says, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come. His hour, folks, that he was speaking of on that occasion was his crucifixion. Now it would be a few hours, maybe within 100 hours, he would die on the cross. You begin to look upon the preaching and teaching of Jesus Christ throughout the scriptures. You know that he uses this particular idea, this particular thought, more than once. And up until this point, he always said, my hour is not yet come. He would tell his apostles to do this or that. He would tell an individual that he had healed to do this or that. And he'd say, I will not, my hour is yet to come. John chapter 4, we read about Jesus leaving Judea and going once again to Galilee. John chapter 4 records the conversation that Jesus had with the Samaritan woman at Jacob's well. Jesus left Jerusalem on that particular occasion because his hour had not come. As we look at this, let us remind ourselves, folks, in that particular regard, each and every one of us, though we know not the hour, our hour will come. I speak of the hour that will determine our time to leave this earth, even as was Jesus pointed out by Jesus, and go to the Father in heaven. And what a tremendous blessing we have waiting for us when our hour is come. Jesus was 33 years old. when he died, give or take. Not certain about the exact year, but it was around 33 years of age. Those of us who have lived a few years think, man, 33 years old is not very old at all. And I imagine you, that some of you that's reaching that point, feel the same way. Just the thought, and when people pass, sometimes we say they were so young. And we seem taken by the thought that people die young. The time that we should leave this earth is not given to us. Jesus knew. Jesus knew when he was going to die. He knew why he was going to die. He knew for what purpose. He knew the method that was going to be used. And he knew the people that would do the honors of taking his life away. Jesus knew that his hour had come. What did he give up? According to the Apostle Paul writing to the Philippian church, Jesus Christ emptied himself when he came to this world in order that you and I might have access to the throne of God and to heaven itself. And what a beautiful thing Jesus Christ did for us. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, Paul said. Before he came to the earth, Paul went on to say that he was in heaven with God, and to be equal with God, he thought it not a thing to be grasped. Jesus Christ gave up so much as a sacrifice for you and I, in order that we might have hope of heaven. And I say that we have hope of heaven because we are going to determine whether or not we take advantage of that sacrifice that was made by Jesus Christ on this day. Jesus Christ was human even as we are human. He bought the church with his blood that he shed, according to Paul, as he talked to the elders from the church at Ephesus, that he purchased the church with his blood, commenting to the elders that they should feed the church of God, which he had purchased with his blood. And in the first chapter of Revelation, the Apostle John wrote and talked about how that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from our sin. Oh, how he sacrificed for us. The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22, without the shedding of the blood, there is no remission. And Jesus' hour that he tells us here had come at that time provides for him to shed that blood for us. He had already spoken. Been spoken of back in John chapter 3 and verse 16. Beloved, do you ever get tired hearing that verse? I don't. Do we ever get tired of reading that verse? I don't. Do we ever get tired of knowing beyond the shadow of a doubt that that verse is really the sum total of the gospel of Jesus Christ, made possible by his recognizing his hour had come and by being willing to do what he had to do during those 100 hours, which were the final hours of his life. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have life everlasting. Jason mentioned in Bible class about this holiday, and this particular day, Christmas Eve, is men's shopping day. First shopping day. The first Christmas after Donna and I met, she was not the first Christmas, but the first year after we met, She was talking one day about, she bought something and she was talking about buying it for a Christmas gift. I said, honey, it's only July. You buying Christmas gifts? What do you do Christmas Eve at 10 o'clock p.m.? I thought about taking this opportunity to do this lesson in regard to giving. Christ is the ultimate giver. You know, he it's more blessed to give than to receive, according to what the Apostle Paul said about our Lord. And we know that the Christmas holiday itself is not warranted by the authority of the Scriptures. God, the Holy Spirit, has not called upon us to recognize it in that way. We sort of recognize it every Sunday in the Lord's Supper, don't we? Remember His death, burial, and resurrection every week. Not once a year, but every week. But I do like the idea that some people don't go to church or don't become religious except once a year, maybe twice a year if you count Easter, which is neither authorized there. But at least for that period of time, they think about it. Maybe they will be drawn closer to the actual teaching of the Scriptures regarding the church and the worship of the church, and therefore become closer to the kingdom. Jesus on one occasion said to an individual, you are near the kingdom. We would like for people to get nearer the kingdom. And all of us draw nearer the kingdom as we worship Him on a daily basis. Jesus' hour had come. And our text reminds us of His final trip to Jerusalem. Triumphant entry into Jerusalem is the way some people describe it, which is certainly true. It was in triumph that He came back. Jesus had been in Jerusalem many times. He had left Jerusalem. Sometimes because the Jews wanted to kill Him. And He would leave Jerusalem to get away from them. The final trip was the one that counted. Multitudes followed Him into the city of Jerusalem, and within a matter of hours, multitudes had forsaken Him, His disciples had forsaken Him, and He was on Calvary's cross, shedding His blood, dying for us. What a beautiful thought it is. You may say, oh, how can you talk about it being beautiful that He died on the cross? Because look what it accomplished. For the millions of people, the billions of people that it offered salvation to, coincided with the Passover. Probably upwards of 2 million people gathered in the sea and around the city of Jerusalem at the time. Jews from all over the face of the earth had come to celebrate the Passover as the law of Moses had instructed them. Notice in this passage before chapter 13, verse 1 of John, not only He said His hour has come that He should depart from this world to the Father. Our hour will come too. We remain faithful to our Lord Jesus Christ that we can depart this world to our Father in heaven and to our brother in heaven who is Jesus Christ. And He is our brother. Let me ask us, we Christians, we New Testament Christians, do we really stop and consider the fact that Jesus Christ is our brother, even as the Father in heaven is our Father? Truly, Jesus is our brother. He is also our Savior. His hour had come. There is another statement in those two verses I want to call our attention to, and that is this. It says, having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. Now, he's talking about his apostles, primarily. And it has been noticed that the word loved here and the expression to the end carries with it the idea not simply that he loved them as we would think of love, agape or agapao, the divine love, not only of that, but also it goes beyond that. It loves them with a love that cannot be described. Beyond knowing and understanding that it's a love that is not evil. It is a love that means he would lay down his life for us, which he did. It's a love that goes beyond what we as human beings sometimes express to one another. He loved his own in the world. He loved them to the end. He remarks in another place that they were with him to the end. All, of course, except for Judas. His hour had come, folks. His hour had come to do what was done in the upper room. In the upper room that he instructed his disciples to find, and they found. His hour had come to do that. And his hour would come in that upper room to have Judas, one of his apostles, deny him. And go and sell him for 30 pieces of silver. In that upper room, he would have to experience Peter denying him. In that upper room, he would even have to recognize or see and hear two of his disciples arguing out of jealousy over who should be the greatest. In that same upper room, his hour had come to give his disciples a demonstration and an example of humility by stooping at their feet and washing their feet. The Son of God washing the feet of human beings. Can you imagine that? And in that same upper room, there was those two disciples arguing out of jealousy. The disciples were giving an example. Those two were giving an example of jealousy. Great sin of humanity. And here was Jesus giving an example of humility. You can read about the humanity of Jesus. You can read about the divinity of Jesus. You can read about the humanity of human beings. And we can see what happens in both cases. His hour had come. His hour had also come to make the trip to the Garden of Gethsemane. Following the events in the upper room when the Lord's Supper was established, and that was his hour, had come to do that too. Across the brook Kidron down to the Garden of Gethsemane, halfway up the side of the Mount of Olives. His teaching, his final hours of teaching, occurred as they walked on their way up to the Garden of Gethsemane. And in the Garden of Gethsemane as well, where Jesus prayed to the Father in heaven while the apostles slept. Oh, it was his hour. We talk about Jesus shedding his blood. The Bible talks about Jesus shedding his blood. And it talks about him being sacrificed on the cross. Beloved, Jesus' sacrifice for us began in the Garden of Gethsemane. If you want to talk about shedding of his blood. Because it was in the Garden of Gethsemane that his tension becomes so great and his spirit was so troubled, even until death, he said. That's when the blood began to be shed, because it fell from his body along with perspiration. What a tremendous stress that was. Medical science tells us that it happens. Not very often, but it happens. And the inspired writer here tells us about how that happened to Jesus. And twice, three times he came to his apostles that were asleep. And the final time he said, couldn't you just wait an hour or two? He was pleading with the apostles. But he found them asleep. The last time that he came to him, he said, sleep on. For here's what we must do. The arrest. This was his final hour for the arrest. Because that's what happened. There in the garden, where all of his stress had occurred, where all of his praying to the Father had occurred. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, Father, I don't want to die. Those of you who have reached that point, you'd want to die when you're 33? We don't even want to die when we're 82, do we? No. And that's a young age. He didn't want to die. And he prayed the Father under such stress. His hour had finally come for the cross. Preparatory to the cross, here's what happened. On his way from Gethsemane, in Gethsemane, and on his way to the cross, they spit in his face. They bound him, meaning they handcuffed him like that. They bound him. They slapped him with an open palm. They buffeted him. They scourged him, and we know what that involves. Person's back and body would be bloody from a scourging. The majority of people who were scourged didn't even get over the scourging. They died as a result of it. They scourged him before they put him on the cross. They stripped him, which is humiliating, an attempt to humiliate him. They placed the crown of thorns on his head. They hit him on the head with a reed or a rod. They gave him vinegar with gall. They crucified him. They finally nailed him or tied him to the cross. The nails in this case. Now folks, any one of those things and all of those things could have done one of two things. They could either brought humiliation to him. They were trying to humiliate him. But the majority of those things that they did to him could have brought blood and did bring blood from his body. The crown of thorns, for example, his side was pierced in the garden where the blood and the water came forth. The blood came forth. And of course, when they crucified him and his side was pierced, then he really was offering that blood. Beloved, Jesus knew when his hour was. When he was telling those people, my hour has not yet come, he knew that it hadn't. But on that final journey to Jerusalem, he knew, beginning that journey, that that would be it. His final, final journey to Jerusalem. Because he knew that his hour had come and he was going to depart. It was all over. He struggled with it. He was tempted all points like as we are, yet without sin. He struggled with what he had been given the responsibility to do. So folks, when we struggle as Christians, let us not forget. Let us remember that Jesus Christ struggled in the responsibility he was given. How many of us could have fulfilled the responsibility that he was given in the manner in which was given? God did not expect us to go and do that kind of a sacrifice. Now, according to the Apostle Paul in his letter to the Romans, he talked about how that we should be a living sacrifice, meaning that every day of our life, as we live, we would fulfill that responsibility of being a Christian, a child of God, that enabled us to be saved ultimately and finally when that great hour of ours had come. Now, when Jesus' hour had come, look what he had to face. When our hour is come, We won't have to face anything Jesus did. We'll be taken to heaven in a glorious way to live with the Father and the Son throughout eternity. Jesus in the garden was in agony. His own words were these, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even until death." Folks, how can we ever express our appreciation, live in such a way, everything that we could give Jesus Christ, the Son of God, for what He did for us would be less, far way less than what He did for us. Yes, Jesus' hour had come when He spoke those words. And look what He did after He spoke those words. And then in the first chapter of Acts, we have the description of His sending back into heaven. Now He is seated at the right hand of His Father to welcome us. In order for Him to welcome us, we are going to have to be a follower of His here in this life. We're going to have to believe in Him as the Son of God. Repent of our sins by turning away from them, by confessing Him before men, and by being buried with Him in baptism. You know, sometimes we hear people who belittle the whole concept of baptism in water for the remission of sins, which the New Testament teaches, which Jesus taught, which His apostles taught, which the Holy Spirit taught. They ridicule it. And yet, look what Jesus did for us. They will say things like, why would God want us to do something like that? That's silly. Well, Jesus Christ didn't think it was silly, and His sacrifice didn't think it's silly. Mike has selected an invitation song to encourage anyone who might be present in this audience who have never believed in Jesus Christ as the Son of God or confessed that belief as the Son of God and their Savior and been buried with Him in baptism. That's where we take advantage. That's where we meet the blood which He shed, what we've been talking about this morning. And He also makes arrangements that if you are a child of God and you stray from the church, from His love, you can always return. And if you need to do that, either one, this morning, why not now?